So, Luke, I hear that this weekend you have made a last-second plan to do something kind of awesome.
It's going to be a baseball-filled weekend. We've been talking about it all morning. Jim Leland, I'm 24 years old, and he ushered the best era of Tigers baseball for me. So my dad and I, we're going to go to Cooperstown. We're going to get in the car, and we're going to drive out there. It's probably going to be a lot of driving through the middle of nowhere towns, but we're going to be in Cooperstown Sunday for the induction. We think it's going to be really neat. And then we're also catching the Pirates-Phillies game tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. And then we're going to watch the Tigers and Guardians coming back Monday night as well.
So when did you decide to do this?
The plans have probably been in the works here for the last week or so. I bought some tickets, I'd say Wednesday. My dad bought hotels probably about a week ago.
I was about to say, the hotel space is pretty... It's hard to come by.
It was tough. We, you know, we were more in the range of like the Motel 6s and Super 8s than the Four Seasons because there was not a ton of room at the inn for us, but we made it happen. Yeah. And we're looking forward to it a lot. I mean, for me, you know, thinking of Jim Leland, of being compelled to go watch him get inducted, you know, being the age that I am, he ushered in Tiger baseball for me, going to the ballpark when there was 40,000 people in there a night, 45,000. It was him at the top step, and, you know, he was just so much fun. So I think the speech is probably going to be really emotional. You know, I think it's going to be really good. You know, he just had such a connection to the game and this town, too. So I'm really looking forward to what he's got to say, too.
Well, that sounds like an awesome trip. Have fun.
Full update next week. Appreciate
yeah, I was about
it, Doug.
To say, yeah, look we'll, forward to hearing about how
well, well, hopefully the hotels don't have, like, roaches or anything like that. No, we don't get lost out in, like, State College, Pennsylvania or something.
Well, now you are acting spoiled. Yeah. You want a hotel with no roaches? What are you...
I'll sleep in the bathtub. This is going to be fun. I'll take it.
And there's for Cooperstown, you don't have to buy tickets for that, right?
No, it's completely free. I think obviously admission for the museum is just 10 or 15 bucks or something like that. But for the induction, it's actually a little ways away out in kind of a park field type area near the stadium. It's kind of situated in the mountains, which is really cool. But you're supposed to bring like a picnic blanket, some food, you know, folding chairs, and everyone kind of sets up in the lawn. It's almost like you're at some kind of outdoor concert or something. So fingers crossed for good weather, but we'll have our chairs ready to go.
I have only been to two Hall of Fames. I've been to the College Football Hall of Fame, and I have been to the Hockey Hall of Fame. Kang, you ever been to a Hall of Fame?
I've been to none Hall of Fames. I remember my dad, I was really young. We lived in Springfield when I was really young, Springfield, Massachusetts. But I was so, he wanted to bring me to the NBA, or not the NBA, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Right.
But he thought I was just too young to appreciate it. But then he looked back and goes, man, I should have just brought you, took some pictures. But no, I have not been to any.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Luke has a great weekend with his dad. 248-539-9797. We are, we're going to stop talking about painful games.
We just had a painful phone call. I think that ended it.
Yeah, we were out of time, and I was going to give him the... get to the point part of the call, but we ran short on time. We had to go. I apologize for cutting that guy off because it was meandering. And I think I was intrigued to see where it would have ended up, but
I wasn't anymore. I was done. There was like, we're talking about games. We don't want to watch games. That was a phone call I didn't want to hear again.
So, we're going to stop talking about games we don't want to watch ever again. Kang just experienced something watching the last episode of Receiver last night and having to stomach the final game of the Lions season last year. Not good. Tigers start the second half tonight at Toronto. Jack Flaherty pitches. A lot of eyeballs will be on him. And, you know, any setback physically probably would end any hope of trading him. So hopefully there is no setback for Flaherty tonight physically. He could probably endure a bad start, but we'd prefer that he goes out and starts and play and pitches like he did the last time out, which was six innings of one run baseball. And healthy, reporting back that he was just fine when the game was done. We opened the show talking about whether or not this team is going to be able to compete the way they had going into the break. They're not going to win eight out of every 10 games, but what had gone right, unfortunately, doesn't feel sustainable. And I'm not, you know, I think on the show, probably always try to find a way that it can work out and continuing a hot stretch of play. It feels more likely that the way it would work out is that Cleveland and Kansas City come back to earth and the Tigers take advantage of one of the easier schedules in baseball in the second half of the season. But I mean, if you think about stuff that's happened in July so far, Colt Keith is hitting .370 with a .463 on base with five home runs in July. Riley Green is hitting .380 with a .446 on base in July. Gio Urshela is hitting 298 in July. Justin Henry Molloy is hitting 303 with a 398 on base in July. The Tigers' power surge. Listen to these home run totals by month. In April, they hit 23. In May, they hit 25 home runs. In June, they hit 24 home runs. So far in July, with 12 games to go, they've hit 23 home runs. That's through 13 games. They basically have played about a third as much baseball, and they're about to have their most productive month in terms of home runs. And this stuff, while it's all awesome, you have to ask yourself, is it sustainable? And that's where it gets a little bit tough, is it doesn't really feel that way necessarily. However, you don't concede anything. You go out, you play as hard as you can play and hope that you can continue to string wins together. And it got so much that this morning, AJ Hinch told the morning show that he wants to buy. We'll play that for you coming up in a minute. But the latest trade deadline stuff, bouncing around and reading what I could from other towns, the Dodgers have reportedly made an offer for White Sox starting pitcher Garrett Crochet. The White Sox turned it down. They turned their attention to Jack Flaherty, amongst others, a rental starter who's on the market. You know, there was a while ago that a big prize to get at the trade deadline would have been Gavin Lux, who had risen to the number two prospect in baseball, but now he's a 26-year-old who's not been hitting. He's kind of been up and down. Is that a chance you would take? And maybe get a guy that was once considered one of the... It feels like Gavin Lux would be the kind of player that gets traded for Spencer Torkelson. A disappointing prospect. One for one. Our disappointing guy for your disappointing guy. I don't know, you know, in listening to John Morosi yesterday, he said to expect a return like they got for Michael Lorenzen, which would be a little bit disappointing to me. I mean, there's been some speculation they get a top 100 prospect for Flaherty. The injury question is, it's hard to know how that impacts his value at the trade deadline. I suspect that that it's still driving. One start doesn't change everything, but I suspect it's still driving that price down. But other stuff, CBS Sports is predicting that the Blue Jays will move either Bo Bichette, the 26-year-old shortstop who's been struggling this year, or Vlad Guerrero Jr., I'm surprised about that. He's 25 years old, and he would be a coveted prize on the trade market. But I would suspect that they would be looking for a Tiger prospect. And you know, if you're moving Vlad Guerrero, I mean, they're a last place team. They're looking to shake things up. They'd probably be calling about Jackson Job. If you're moving Vlad Guerrero, can you get Bo Bichette a little bit cheaper? Maybe. I mean, Bo Bichette is, again, a guy that you're trying to buy while the price is low. At one point, you would say, oh my God, yeah, get Bo Bichette. But now that he's had a rough year, that could be a buy move that they could make potentially. But again, they're going to be looking for prospects. And I imagine in both cases, in the case of Guerrero and the case of Bichette, I think the price that what it would cost would be something would have people go, ooh, and as it probably should. 248-539-9797. All right, AJ Hinch talks about the emergence of Colt Keith, what it's like dealing with Scooble trade rumors. And will you talk to Scott Harris about buying? Hear what he had to say. Starting at 12:18 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.